evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. The Vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect because people on Facebook don't like to be told, you're doing facts wrong. Part of this is also to find out some of the answers to the questions of why. And why apparently I'm really not good at this intro tonight. I actually will explain it in a couple of moments. Part of this is also because the journey is more important than the destination. I am your host. I am known as Shujin Triple all over the place. You can find me under pretty much all social media that way. Let me go ahead and introduce you to the panel tonight. Oh, this is going to be a fun, fun night. I will apologize straight up, Ved. I'm currently running on about 3.5 to 4 hours of sleep over the last 48 hours. I'm a little off right now. I'll see what I can do. Starting us over north of the border into Ontario, Canada. Good morning, Heretic Woman.
Good morning.
From the Midwest of the U.S., good evening, Bridget.
Howdy.
From south of me into Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, good morning, Joey.
Bonjour.
Close enough. From just outside of the armpit.
For a change.
Just outside of the armpit of the capital of Washington, D.C., good morning, Unrenowned Tech.
Yeah, it is. It's morning. Okay, so. Hi!
I know my timing. Across the pond over to England in the north of. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Shijin.
And south from there over into Paris, France. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning.
So as I mentioned, yeah, I'm running on like way too little sleep. My apologies. I had a hard time getting to sleep after the Friday night show that I do. And I don't know what the hell. I tried to get to sleep. I tried to nap. You would think that somebody at my age, I'd actually be able to nap well. No such luck.
Just try dreaming of filthy monkey men. You'll get to bed real quick.
Yeah, about that. Dallin, as a reminder, Dallin right now is off in Regina and enjoying himself in Regina. And I'm going to try to find out how many times I can say that before somebody's going to finally chime in and go, isn't that a bad word? No, it's not.
No, it's he's in Regina, not in a vagina.
Right. Which you mean Virginia?
Which is a completely different animal entirely.
I mean, if I'm in the armpit of Deck Capital, then Virginia's got to be the vagina.
Close enough. So at this point, he is actually having a good time up there at ReasonCon. Sorry, no. It's Shift to Reason.
Yes.
Wow. You know, the worst part of it is I've got it on my second monitor over there, and I didn't even look. This is going to be a great, great night. And I know full well Dallin's listening, and he's going, this is great. This is great. Thanks, man.
Fix it in post, Dallin.
Yeah, he's not paid well enough for that. So let me get everything started over here. Dallin got his picture taken with Seth Andrews and Aaron Ra, and boy's a big, tall drink of water. Wow.
That's Dallin, not those guys.
Yeah, Dallin is apparently towering over just a little bit.
He looks much shorter on the vlogcast.
He does.
He's wearing heels.
Borrowed some boots from Gene Simmons on the way.
Well, I was going to say Casey and the Sunshine Band, but sure, we'll go with that anyway. So let me get you guys started over here because I know full well Unrenowned Tech is a little curious and kind of wondering, and when I went ahead and posted up what the topic for tonight's 5-minute freestyle was, he kind of went, uh-oh. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, so.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and tell you guys exactly what I'm thinking about this week. So, with 5 minutes on the clock, with apologies to Noah, Heath, and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist, and of course, I can get that name straight. Your 5-minute freestyle starts right now. I titled it De Capital, and it's not what you're thinking. Capital is an important thing in a lot of languages, most notably English, because that's primarily what we speak over here. English has a couple of very specific rules about using capital letters. It's at the beginning of any sentence, usually, unless there's a really, really good reason not to, and those are exceptionally rare. It's also used as part of the name, a proper name for someone or some specific thing, location. And we attribute something with a capital letter that is not at the beginning of a sentence or not specifically a proper name with a little bit of exaltation. For instance, the letter T. The, for instance, the something. The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. Right at the beginning of the sentence, it's a capital T. What happens if you move that capital T to a different word in a different location in the middle of the sentence? Thomas Jefferson, for instance. That's a completely perfect meaning for using a capital T because it's a proper name. What if you use it for the word truth? That starts getting into the rub. We talked about this before. Capital T truth. That's something that a lot of people in the theist communities will use. And their whole thing is that I've got the truth. Capital T truth. I'm sorry. I'm not buying that anymore. I'm going to just refuse because truth is truth. Truth is based off of facts. Truth is a comparison of does what you're saying match up with the facts, and facts does not get a capital F, although I might give you a capital F with you using capital T truth, but we'll digress off for that later. But for right now, I'm not going to use capital T truth, and I'm not so sure that I even want to use capital G God anymore. And yeah, I know the Christians use capital G God all the time because it's convenient. It's what's been used when it's actually supposed to be capital Y. Although Y with a question mark is our thing. Capital Y Yahweh. And why they don't use that, I do not know. But I'll tell you what I try to use, and it's still really difficult. L. Capital L. I've used capital L, that expression, very specifically for a very specific term. Love. There's some people who talk about having soulmates and your other half. And do I believe in the romanticized idea of a soulmate, your completion, your other half? Yeah, romantic, sure. Is there such a thing as a soul? As far as I know at this point, I have nothing to believe in that. I just have the experience of what I was lucky enough to have. That kind of capital L love is something that is incredibly precious. It is rare. And it's one of those things that if you're lucky enough to have it, you should treasure it like crazy. With any luck, if you're lucky enough to have it, you already know full well that you shouldn't. You shouldn't squander it. It's something that helps us to remember how important life is. I was lucky enough to have it for 12 years. It's something that I've been asked from people, how do you know? How do you know when you've got that one true love, that one perfect love, that storybook love that Willie DeVille sings about from The Princess Bride? Capital L love does not just suddenly appear. It grows. It's suddenly that warm, comfortable blanket covering over you, holding you in its own hug that you never even knew was suddenly there. And you can't believe for the life of you that you missed it. You have no idea how it started. You just know that you're lucky to be where you are. This is episode 113 on the docket, Your Honor, and reactionary legislation is what we're calling this one. I was really, really hoping to get Collie Wright on for tonight. I did send her a message over on Skype. It probably wasn't the best way because she, well, on top of everything else, Kelly's had a busy week, so you know what? We don't have her. That's okay. She's been busy trying to build bridges and get relationships going. We'll see if we can't end up talking a little bit more about that in a couple of moments. For the moment, however, let's go ahead and get things started over here. At this time, Heretic Woman, I'm assuming that you... Sorry about that, phone. I'm assuming that you also have not heard any new news at this point, same as me, right?
No, nothing new about Rafe. Unfortunately, more bad news out of Bangladesh. Since Sunday, Monday, an English professor was hacked to death. And yesterday, a Hindu farmer was hacked to death because he apparently expressed distaste for Islam once. Oh, and the English professor, and a gay rights activist as well, and a friend of his. So in the last week, that's four people who have been killed in Bangladesh for thought crimes.
So as of the recording of the show, it has now been 3 years, 10 months, 14 days since Raif Badawi was unjustly incarcerated for thought crime in Saudi Arabia. We're still hoping for you. And our hearts and our hopes go out to all of the folks out there in Bangladesh. Please, if possible, stay safe. If necessary, get the hell out of Dodge. If you're watching live with us, of course, please, by all means, take advantage of the question and answer system on the side of the screen there. And we'll see what we can do about talking with you guys about stuff as is going on. If you're listening after the fact, or if you'd like to contact us otherwise, please feel free to tweet at us while we're on the air or pretty much at any time at Holy Crap TV. And you can send an email over to podcast@holycrapthevlogcast.com. Right now over in the Q&A, Beth, hi, hon, hope you're feeling better. Katie, hello there. And Dom, good to have you, of course, listening in with us. So, Joseph, I'm going to end up popping over onto you first off, because of all of us, you have been the most vocal, the most consistent personality in saying so much of the stuff that's happening with the laws that are basically beating down on everybody is, I'm probably not quoting you correctly, but basically the death rattle of religious strongholds and religious grips on society. That's basically where I'm going at this point. And I know I'm kind of catching you completely unaware at the moment, but you've talked about this before on many occasions where there's been stuff that's happened with Ten Commandments statues, with reproductive rights being discriminated against, LGBT discrimination and all this stuff. You've said before, France does not have this at all, right? And
no.
Oh, I was getting worried there a second. I didn't have any audio for you for a moment. And being that you're on the outside and hearing about all the stuff that's been happening over here, I gotta imagine that this whole thing has just been absolutely mind-numbing to hear how often this stuff has been going on. Such anti-humanist kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, what angle do you want me to come at it from?
Well, first off, like I said, you've consistently been saying that, you know, all this stuff, it's going to get worse before it gets better. All the stuff has been going on, and it's just the last-ditch efforts to grab as much power as possible, knowing full well that it's just slowly going away.
Desperate, that's for sure. It's a sign of desperation, which means that mentalities are changing. The religion system, they think that they're in danger of death. Of course, it's kind of like they're having a panic reflex. And it can go either way, actually, because... sorry about that. No, but there's a belief system in place in the U.S. and everywhere in the world, actually, because, you know, even if religion goes away, there's still a void. And people still have to learn to think for themselves. So until they do that, there's a danger that some authority, or maybe the same authority in another form, is going to step in and just continue dictating to the populace. But for now, you know, what's going on is good, because it's almost a test in a way. Because this is the really first time in human history that humanity's gone all out against religion. They're actually daring, quote unquote, to criticize it. And now we're seeing the reaction. Now we're seeing what they're going to do.
Now, there's a piece about that you said that was interesting for me. And Joey, I'm going to bring it on over for you because of what he mentioned about there being a power void, vacuum. And that's something that the U.S. government harkened back after the military action that happened out in the Middle East most recently, I guess is probably the best way to put it. And they blamed a power vacuum for the stuff that was happening in Iraq. And you spent some time out that way. What I want to get from you is kind of twofold. One, for the local people, on a local level, the folks that you had the opportunity of just interacting with, I would assume that this quote-unquote power vacuum really doesn't affect people, individuals, in their small groups really that much. I'm assuming that it's pretty much just a day-to-day kind of thing, like, you know, it's business as usual for the most part. Would that be about right?
Just about. It does have a slight it does affect a slight change in the more local functions, because it begins to dehomogenize a particular region. It starts breaking up into particular districts and such of, you know, zones of control of particular either individuals or parties.
So it starts to get a little bit more into the my group, not my group mentality.
Yeah, it starts to become a little feudal.
The context there, I'm sure, is quite different, because there, I don't want to sound condescending, but it's when you're in a village mentality, it's almost like a clan mentality. So, you know, the village, it's an isolated element or unit, if you want, and as long as it's functioning fine, you know, they want it to continue that way. And when somebody comes in from the outside and tries to take it over, then, you know, it's going to work for a certain percentage of the population, and they're going to break off. Well, yeah. What Joseph's saying is right, but I'm just saying that the mentality is a bit different there.
Well, it starts to become very difficult to get people involved in, say, national affairs rather than local affairs, because it's very much the same kind of thing that we experience with voters here in the U.S. Why should I bother ringing in a vote on one thing or another if it's not going to affect me? For example, you know, why should I bother paying taxes for, say, NASA? I'm not part of NASA. It's not my responsibility. Or, you know, any number of things that you want to look at on that kind of level. It becomes a very much not in my backyard sort of thing, you know? You know, the only time that they start getting involved is when it's something that's going to directly affect them.
Mm. Yeah,
we all.
Yeah, I mean, why would you want to spend money on NASA unless you get to go up into space?
Sort of.
Because we all operate within our own Sorry. Like, we all more or less operate within our own bubble, like our immediate surroundings. But I think it's a little more clear-cut when you're in a village and you're surrounded by desert.
Well, that's exactly where I was going to try to get to. Well, Joey, as far as to villages and towns and smaller cities, from what you were able to see, I'm assuming that these areas are much more isolated with much larger sections of just nothing.
Yeah, the physical isolation plays a very big part of it, more so in Afghanistan than, say, Iraq, because Afghanistan is actually... For square mileage, Afghanistan's a lot bigger, and there's not quite as much. I mean, let's face it, there's practically no arable land in Iraq, but habitable land, there's not a whole lot more of it in Afghanistan either, because Afghanistan, you have desert, you have some scrubland and grassland, but you've got a lot of desert to your west side of the country. You've got a lot of mountains on the eastern side of the country, east and north.
Okay, now, some folks are going to kind of wonder where I'm going with this, and truth be told, I wouldn't be surprised if people were actually kind of scratching their head. And I know for whether Bridget's going to be scratching her head, and here's why, because I'm pulling you in. We were just talking about what the power structure and the voids are like when you've got areas that are very physically separated. Now here's your chance, because you were experiencing it a hell lot better. What happens when these areas are much physically closer, but you have such different ideologies butting up against each other's from, let's say, city to city or county to county, and one larger group suddenly has dominance over, well, everybody, to bulldozer everybody?
A lot of stress, a lot of tension, and a sense of powerlessness. The people who are being run over. What is going on in Indiana, we are now starting to see in Oklahoma, and I was afraid of that. You know, things slide here, and then other governors go, I wonder how that would work over here. And so we're exporting our crazy to neighboring states. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You would think that you would serve as an example of how not to do it?
That doesn't work that way with these people.
For that, you need an ability to learn.
And critical thinking skills.
If I can add to what was going on earlier, it's a test, you know, we're talking about the the noise religion is making. It's also a test for us. Because I don't think humanity has ever had a chance. I mean, it's starting in Scandinavia. That's a great example of, you know, humans learning to think critically for themselves. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a true democracy. But you look through history, and like, we're talking about power voids, and look what happened in Iran. You know, every time they managed to topple a government or something like that, well, theocracy was always right there just to hijack the revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now the problem that I'm kind of working this over to and kind of circling around to view from a couple of different angles is the stuff that's been happening now here in the U.S. very specifically, although it's been mirrored in different areas, which is exactly what we started off with. The stranglehold, the grip, the iron fist of theocratic influences. I'm not going to say theocracy just yet, although that has happened, because it goes into a couple of different areas. What was the expression? The tighter your grip, the more star systems will slip through your fingers, Governor Talkin. It's the same kind of thing. It's that stuff, well, it's actually backwards. These different areas are slipping through the fingers, and they're trying to tighten up their grip harder and harder. And that seems to be what's been going on, especially here in the U.S., but it's been... you can hear it being resonated out from the Vatican, where they have been talking about, oh, you should be nice to all these people, but you really have to come down on these other ones and just don't even budge on all this stuff. Hold on a second. Sorry. Heretic woman. I'm not sure how to ask the question now. I'm trying to figure out where to lead this through for. People like Bible Barbie are not typical. All right, back up a second. Real quick rundown on who Bible Barbie was.
Or then there's also No Engine Guy from last weekend.
Which is what I'm feeling like right now. But give a quick explanation of who Bible Barbie is.
Bible Barbie was a young lady who accosted our atheist meetup at a coffee shop to first apologize for interrupting us, which obviously she wasn't sorry for, and then to inform us that she was all going to pray for all of us in a sort of sickly, sweet, condescending manner. So, and No Engine Guy is the guy who accosted us at a Starbucks last weekend and tried to engage us in an intelligent design discussion because, you know, does your car run without an engine? So, yes, that's yes. And she's Bible Barbie because she was a petite blonde thing wearing a Barbie pink pea coat. So,
and didn't know the stuff she was trying to talk to you guys about.
No, she uttered the line no Christian should ever utter in the presence of atheists that have internet connections. That's not in the Bible.
Yeah, and then she was proven. Okay, now this is the type of personality that I think is important to join up with this piece of it all now too. This type of person who doesn't know what they're talking about, who doesn't realize they don't even know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
The technical term. Don't anybody give me grief about this one. The technical term is ignorant. Ignorance can be cured. Willful ignorance is a sin against learning. How?
Yes.
With that out of the way, it is unfortunately, from what we've seen, far too often that we end up with people who are way too ignorant and think that they know what they're talking about when they have absolutely no freaking clue.
Yeah, I mean, No Engine Guy, he had no idea the concept of evolution at all. Like, just from the way he started with irreducible complexity, it's like, okay, that's been debunked 5 billion ways a Sunday, bub. And even though I was able to throw science at him off the top of my head, at 9:30 in the morning was kind of impressive, I thought, but it went, you know, in one ear and out the other because he had no concept of what it was he was arguing about at all.
These people, people who have no critical thought abilities, all they can do is pattern match.
He was probably read like Answers in Genesis or some crap like that, or had a pastor, you know, they had a how to pitch creationism workshop at his church. I don't know, but somebody gave him a here's how you introduce intelligent design, you know, kind of crap. And
that's his goal, is to make whatever's coming out of your mouth match what's in his programming, in his head.
Yeah, which of course didn't work because I've argued intelligent design a bazillion times, and I could throw stuff at him, like, you know, right there. And their stock in trade is people who are all as ignorant as they are. Right. And in fact, I was reading, we were talking before the show about Ray Comfort showing up at Reason Rally. In reading the article about that, it was a Patheos article, and they were critiquing Comfort's style of, quote, debating. And he banks on people who don't have the knowledge to debunk what crap he is spewing in the first place. So somebody was talking about Ray Comfort's videos, and apparently he likes to put all kinds of street preaching up on YouTube. I don't have the stomach for it because I can't throw things at least if I did, I would hurt my poor monitor, and I don't want to do that. But that's the kind of thing where the person that was talking about it said, yeah, that, you know, my quote debate with him never made it onto any website or anything because I didn't fit the mold of what was good video for him. And that is blindsiding people with things that they don't know enough about to debunk.
The problem that we have here in the U.S. is willfully ignorant politicians.
Oh, good grief,
like that one woman who said that we don't need Plan B because that's what rape kits are for.
Well, or what sheriff was it that said you don't need better rape kits because most rapes are just fabricated?
Yeah.
Like, crap. Like, and the people that, you know, when you try and say, here's some facts, they go, la, 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 no, 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 that, nope, don't tell me that, because I'm already right.
Yeah, the cult of personality is the thing that kills me, because with Ray Comfort, with Answers in Genesis, with Ken Ham, with so many of these guys, it's a cult of personality. It's the charisma that pulls them in, and they tell them what they want to hear, and they pull them along, and then they become the biggest part of the bell curve.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, Chris?
I'd like to exclude Ray Comfort from that, because the guy's got no personality.
But he does have a popular following.
You know what it is? He's got a Don Knotts kind of goofball appeal.
Oh, please, don't do this. Don Knotts was such a nice actor. Don't do this to him.
Okay, well, but he's a goofball in that he doesn't know how stupid he actually is, and so that's actually kind of entertaining on a level, I guess.
Yeah.
Like the banana video makes me howl in laughter every time because he thinks he's being so smart, and at the same time he's broadcasting just how utterly ignorant and stupid he is.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, his audience, he's looking for ignorance. He's like digging for ignorance.
Well, the way he does his street preaching is, and I've seen some of these videos, and I would recommend not watching them unless you've got a strong stomach. But his tactic with this is to go up to people that are obviously otherwise like engaged, harass them, stick a microphone virtually up their noses and get so up in their face that like he's literally breathing on them and then start gibbering about the Bible. And after about 5 minutes, most people end up saying like, yeah, whatever, you might have some sort of point there. Right, now fuck off and get out of my face.
Yeah,
like, you know, like people will like say like, get rid of this like crazy bum that's trying to like do a like endoscopy with a microphone or something.
But those are rare gems for him.
He's every street preaching video like that, and he claims these are successes because he then cuts them back on there to the just give the one point where the person just says anything they can to get rid of this crazy person.
See, that's why I'm excited for Reason Rally, because we're gonna be on point because we know he's there and we're expecting him, and so his sort of ambush attack isn't going to work for him. And I plan to bring him a banana. Of some sort. Haven't decided
Yeah, Deborah, if you can get hold of like one of those like big boom microphones that looks like a chihuahua and just like literally like smack him in the face with it and pin him to a wall and then like start like
start
giving him verses from the Quran.
Oh, I know exactly that would be which one beautiful. To start with too.
You want to make it even better, you go ahead and you get yourself a boom operator for that, and you get one of those, what was it that Jeff Feuerstein wanted, that red camera? Rub it in somebody's face that way.
Well, use the apologetic technique. Interview him from a cherry picker.
Yeah. I don't think they let me drive one of those up on the Washington Mall, just a hunch, but you know.
Okay. All right, so
because apparently he's gonna set up shop on the other side of the mall from the Lincoln Memorial.
Oh, and just in case Josh Rootstein ever sees this on there before he goes and you know actually gets that camera he's been waiting for so long to be delivered. when making videos on your phone, you take your phone. And you turns it like this.
Yes.
Yeah, horizontal.
Because we full well know, shooting vertical video, that's a paddling.
Yeah.
Some of us know what we're referencing.
With thanks to Bionic Dancer.
Yes. All right, so I'm trying to remember where it's going to end up taking us over through for this. Oh, okay. Yes.
To about you know Ray Comfort videos, as far as I'm concerned, you don't even have to have sound for these because his only goal is to make you look confused, angry, hesitant. That's it.
Yep, and it's all too easy to do that when you're trying to understand, wait, those two items don't go together. Why are you putting them together?
Yeah, and he does that just to make you look confused. I mean,
or who is this guy trying to jam a microphone up my nose?
Yeah. Although, if you do watch the Ray Comfort video about the banana with no sound on, it looks like an opening to a softcore porno
from the 1980s. Yes.
It takes a really long time to get to the part where he sticks the banana in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could suggest some music for that. I was thinking a 3-year-old and a piano keyboard.
And then Kirk Cameron went and stuck his foot in his mouth, too, regurgitating all that biblical shit about a woman needs to know her place and shit.
Oh, yes. Dear old
because I can't hold mine.
she needs to hold it for him. He can't use the tweezers that close.
Yeah. It's a banana.
You're
not supposed to peel the foreskin back.
Oh, another topic for another night.
Kinder surprise.
There's an article that had just come out earlier today. Where Kirk Cameron basically said women should basically do whatever it is their men say, no matter how poorly they're being treated. Collectively, from all of us over here to you, Kirk Cameron, I'm going to donate this. This is the Flying Asshole Award. You earn it for tonight.
Oh, look, mine has wings. It drank Red Bull. Well, it used to be in my pouch instead.
I'm stealing that.
You go right ahead. That's all my friends back from West Babb High School. There you go. You guys remember that one, right? You don't remember that. It's way too long ago.
We didn't hang out with the same bullies.
No, we didn't. I was a band fag, so yeah, there you go. Later.
Jeez.
Bridget, since you mentioned about Oklahoma, hi. You're a little bit closer to it. Oh, God. You know what? It's the.
I was in the choir.
No. You're Warner. Acting like it. The, what Bridget was talking about earlier about the insanity being exported and now crossing over into Oklahoma,
with as little bile feeding into the rest of your internal cavity as possible, what did they just do over there in Oklahoma? Because we're going to go a little bit further out west after that one.
There is a bill that passed through the House and the Senate that is headed for Mary Fallon's desk to ban all abortions, except in the case where the fetus has already died, and then you can induce labor to expel said fetus, or you can induce delivery early if it will save a fetus, but even then, to save the life of the mother, no abortion, period.
And their justification, sorry.
Their justification is because it's for moral reasons.
Okay, what I actually meant to say was their delineation between alive and dead, if I heard correctly, is a heartbeat, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could be wrong, and I will admit that I did not pass a biology in college, but if memory serves, what I learned in high school was that there are certain organs in the human body that will function without a functional brain, although a perhaps marginally functional brain stem might be required, something like, let's say, the rhythm of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So you could theoretically have a fetus with no larger brain cavity and perhaps part of a brain stem, and mm-hmm. that would be considered a viable human life to them, right?
Under that law, yeah.
Yet there are animals in existence.
Even if it kills the mother, there are no exceptions.
Yep. Now,
flat out ban on all abortion.
Yep. Now, like I said, we'll go a little bit further out west. We've got a new law that had happened, a law proclamation, I forget exactly what they called it, out in Utah, where they have, you know what, Tech? I don't know. Did you hear about this one? What happened out in Utah? What they declared as a public health nuisance?
Condoms?
You're pretty damn close.
Sexual education?
That's actually a hell of a lot closer. Porn.
Porn.
Birds. Oh, in Utah.
Utah.
Yeah, where they have, like, some of the highest grossing usage of porn available.
Nope. They have the highest. And have had the highest since they started keeping records for this kind of shit.
Yep. Because, nobody masturbates in Utah, right?
Bullshit. Excuse me, sorry. I'm allergic to idiocy.
Well, they're all proselytizing, don't you know?
Yeah, it's all just inducing nocturnal emissions because, I mean, that's the only way that you can do that, right?
I wonder how many people, statistically speaking, in Utah are religious to the point of where they actually believe the stuff that they, believe in, and yet still look at porn and masturbate. I don't know what the stats on that is.
I mean, to me, I would have thought porn would be entirely unnecessary in Utah. I mean, if you can believe that you're going to get your own planet when you die and magic underwear is going to help you get there, you've obviously got so good an imagination that that porn would be irrelevant.
Well,
when you're sexually repressed. Seriously, when you're sexually repressed.
Yeah, but when all you have in your mind is farm animals.
Hey, nay means nay.
Now, funny you should say that, because there's another one that came out, and I forgot where this one was, and somebody helped me out.
I'm sorry, Sujin, but that sheep lied.
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
And its hair will grow back.
Fuck you.
See, the worst part about this whole thing, Tech, and he won't admit to it, is that whenever he's talking about short and curlies, it's all short and curlies with use. So it's whatever. Yes, especially with never mind. Velcro is another term. I forgot what state over here in the U.S., but there is one that they are going ahead and saying, if you have non-consensual oral copulation with someone who is drunk and passed out, it is not considered rape.
This well, you know, came I mean, down the pipe. You're taking a one out of the page of Bill Clinton. Technically, he didn't have sex with her. Of course, yes. He also needed the word "is" to be defined. So, you know,
and to be fair, okay. Before we go past that, to
but
be
you also fair, have Mississippi, who says that getting the shit beat out of you is not a reason for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Canada, how's the job market in Canada? I'm looking about thinking about moving.
I have
skills in IT.
I can fix space.
I was gonna say I can fix anything computer related, sort of.
I have this feeling that I could have a very full house after November.
I'll bring alcohol.
Okay.
Lots of alcohol.
Done deal there.
It was Oklahoma again, where it rules that rape is not rape, or oral rape is not rape if the victim is unconscious.
From alcohol specifically.
From alcohol.
There was all over Twitter. There was a kid who was some guy was held up by two women at gunpoint, and raped by the two women. And I'm seeing women posting about how it's great that women are taking action against men, and that. You know, the article's wrong. Men can't be raped by women. And it's like, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, both, or neither. Rape is rape. It doesn't matter what form it comes in. Rape is rape. What is wrong with all of you people? And then, of course, we got shit like Oklahoma and the rest of them going, oh, fuck you.
Yeah. Now, the problem with a lot of these that are coming down the pike is that they are religiously motivated.
Ding, 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 ding.
Religiously motivated. Now, can we say that in the case of the sex when somebody's passed out from alcohol? Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, we can. We only need to go over to the story of Noah, who got drunk off his ass,
yes.
And his kids went ahead and raped him, and it won't rape.
That wasn't Noah, that was Lot. Noah got drunk on his ass, and his son saw him naked and cursed, like, everybody who's black.
That's right. By the way,
Locke didn't get drunk off his ass because he wasn't riding on an ass in the first place.
Yep.
As to the thing about his son saw him naked, this is a biblical euphemism.
I gotta look it up. I don't remember this one.
Likely to mean that his son had his way with Noah. While Noah was passed out drunk in his tent, according to many interpretations. So that's, and his son's children were then sold into slavery for 7 generations as punishment. So this seems to be direct biblical confirmation that having sex with someone while they're passed out unconscious is a bad thing.
If you can't even look at the guy, I'm thinking having sex is
fair. No, the saw is there is one of these like euphemisms like new or as in like, biblical knowledge or feet are,
like feet are penises. Yes.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Or putting your hand under someone's thigh means grabbing their junk.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I really don't
that's
like
a custom.
Hey, I wonder if that would work upon hey, baby, grab my thigh.
Yeah, so a lot of like the patriarchs were swearing oaths on it, like by grabbing hold of each other's balls on there. So on there. So and.
Is that like turn your head and cough?
I don't know.
turn your head and promise, I guess. So the problem that we've got is theocracy and the wedge ideas. As much as it drives me crazy because I hate the whole slippery slope thing, The problem that we end up with this is the slippery slope is not a fallacy when it's real. And this whole wedge thing is all too real. Little bits here, little bits there, little bits here, little bits there. The whole... Oh,
would you call that a wedge?
Yes, that's exactly what it had been called. What was referred to as the wedge document.
Wedge document.
Which was a way of trying to get, and this goes back over into the topic readout that I had for everybody before, to find a way of wiggling into the science curriculum in order to bring intelligent design into the mix along with...
And it's part of the Seven Mountains Mandate, which the seven... I don't remember all of them, and if Beth is still awake, she knows it like the back of her hand, but things like dominate politics, dominate education, dominate entertainment, like all of these things as an attempt to just overwhelm everyone who dissents.
Well, thanks to that, we have
the government and the economy and the military.
Yeah.
And business.
Thank you. Yeah.
And family.
Yeah. And the scary part about it is we don't have to look to the traditional religions in order to see somebody try this one out. It wasn't too very long ago that it was done by the Scientologists who infiltrated the U.S. on so many different levels. And now I'm kind of wondering, Tech, do you have any memory, any recollection of that particular item? I'm thinking you probably didn't.
Scientologists? No, I don't tend to pay a lot of attention to those idiots.
Well,
we kind of have them to thank, though, for this kind of rise against religion, because it just got so fucking crazy thanks to Tom Cruise and all that. It just brought so much attention. They're kind of like the fringe religion that they try to appear scientific, like, hello, name, at the same time as being religious. Of course, it's not working, so it doesn't stand up to more than 10 seconds of examination, even for the simplest of people.
Well, and Elron Hubbard is known that he specifically sought out celebrities from the get-go to try and bring a sense of legitimacy to it. Because he thought that if I get big names throughout the world to be Scientologists and speak about how great Scientology is, then everybody's going to want to be a Scientologist. And that was his plan from the get-go.
And also, to be honest, a lot of them seem to be very easy targets, because how many celebrities are willing to put their name to just about any old bullshit?
Well, exactly.
Jenny McCarthy, right?
Is a body count, how's that standing at the moment?
If given the choice, I'd have to say L. Ron Hubbard? Nah. If anything, I'm going to go with H.P. Lovecraft. Pataga.
Dude, I love your style.
But what you were saying about actors and getting involved, one of the strategies that they have, and I learned this from watching a YouTube video of a young fellow in LA who ended up joining Scientology, and he is, of course, everybody in LA is an actor, and so he was an aspiring actor. And what they do is they find out, they get all of the industry publications that they can, they find out who's holding auditions and when, and what they do is they'll stake out the area where people are auditioning for roles, and knowing full well that 99.99% of them are not going to get a role. And so when they come out from the audition and they've had a rejection, the Scientologists are right there going, oh, I'm so sorry, but you know what? I have this course that's really going to help you, and that's going to help you get that audition the next time around, and here's how it works, and why don't you sign up for this? And they target the actors who have had rejections. And from what I understand, they've got, there's a communications course and there's a couple others that are like the bottom basement courses that are actually really good and useful. And people have had successes from taking those courses, and that's how they get them, because they take
those. That's John Travolta.
Exactly. Hmm. That's exactly right. And they go and take this communication course, or I think they have someone on entrepreneurship or business or whatever. You take some of these, one or two of these courses, you learn actual productive things, and that's the hook that says, wow, they really made a difference here. I landed that next audition, or I got a good job now. It's because of Scientology, and that's
how they target self-confidence. They always target self-confidence.
Yeah, I can make you, you know, feel better about yourself, or I can help you learn how to exude the confidence to get that next job or that next audition.
And if anybody wants to say that this is all just crap and they don't really do this and people don't really believe this stuff, let's remember that the industry for the psychic mediums, the astrologers, the crystal experts, the iridologists, the phrenologists, yes, they are still out there.
Oh, yes.
It's billions upon billions of dollars. As a matter of fact, earlier this, last month, the end of last month, the 21st, 2nd, whatever the hell it was, John Edward was out here in the Buffalo area, and believe me when I say I was just positively flabbergasted that this guy is still pulling in money because people still are being preyed on by people like this.
Yeah. Deepak Chopra is in Paris now.
Is he still wearing glasses?
I have no idea.
And how does word salad en français sound?
They have no need of the term, probably.
No, I mean, does he spout his word salad in French now? Because that would.
I have no idea. I'd love. How would they sound?
Quite lyrical, but.
If you could do us a favor, understand that from previous shows that you're familiar with some of the catacombs of Paris.
Yes.
Would you possibly be able to leave Deepak in one?
I know.
Is there like some area? Underground hole?
There's a particular area in the underground. I know perfect place to leave him. It's called the Crossroads of Death. I'm translating literally, and it's a well that it was in the cholera epidemic. I think of like 1620, where they just basically just dumped all the bodies down the well. So, like,
we hear that,
isn't it? Dropping dead diseased bodies in the water supply.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We hear that. Holy crap, the Vlogcast do not advocate in any way, shape, or form the destruction of any human life, even Deepak Chopra's.
I wasn't talking about dumping Deepak's, but anyways, the well's closed. No?
But, well, that's
we here at Holy Crap Vlogcast do not advocate pollution of public areas in any way.
With word salad purveyors.
Oh, that's sound pollution, right, yeah.
Yeah.
On the bright side, I'm sure there'd be some very, very nicely nurtured soil after a couple of years, but that's
yep. Only if it's quantum soil.
How do I get quantum fuck out of here?
You could grow quantum mushrooms down there.
But they have to be sympathetic quantum mushrooms.
Okay.
If they're not sympathetic to the quantum waves, then they're going to stand on their head and grow underground.
And they have to have the right positive vibrations, I'm sure. Right.
And don't forget to use the right water, the water that you've kind of put the positive water through and
get some charged Benny Hinn water. You have to sprinkle Benny Hinn water on them.
That's great. You know what? That's fine. Look, you see what I'm drinking right now? This is just tea. This is just normal, regular tea with heavy cream because that's the only way that I can deal with some of this sometimes.
Oh, it's dirty leaf water. Got it.
Right, exactly so. So I don't have enough stuff in here to keep me conscious enough if you're going to keep doing that. By the way, for those of you that want to go looking it up, there was a Deepak Chopra game for the Wii. Go look that up. Seriously, you'll probably still find it for about $20 on Amazon.
Jeez. Oh,
I was going to buy it so that I could give it to Heath and Noah, basically because I wanted to piss him off. So back onto topic. All this stuff is going on. All these things are trying to be legislated. All these things are trying to be ramrodded through legislatures and up to the governors and be signed into law for the specific reason of my book says that you're supposed to be doing what I am told to do.
Just call it for what it is. It's a dictate. And religion has survived. In the U.S. anyways, it survived perfectly fine, riding, being a parasite on the back of a flourishing economy. And that's not working for them anymore. So they're going to try and take over. Well, last time that happened in human history, the Dark Ages?
Yeah, the trick of being a parasite is not to kill the host.
Yeah.
Yeah, one would think.
Unfortunately, religion's really good at killing everything.
Yes, but of course, enough about the torture pairs. Don't, kids, don't look that one up. You really don't want to look that one up. Don't look that up.
I'm looking this shit up now.
You don't want to do that. I'm warning you right now, you really don't want to do that. So they're going ahead and they're pushing through this legislation as quickly as they can because, and this is the thing that gets me, and this is where I want us to finally settle on for the last, you know, hour that we've got. The guys who are pushing back against religion, especially here in the U.S., in areas where you have governments that are far more secular than they are anything else, they're the ones in the right. They may be a minority of the population as far as to religious belief, but they are in the right legally, and they can push for that. So that's why, Bridget, I want to get you, because you, we've said before, you are in the unenviable position of being in an area where some of these theocratically pushed laws and regulations could fall by the wayside if somebody were to finally challenge them. But we're running into the big problem of how freaking long is it going to take before somebody can actually get that to push through?
And with a 4-4 split on the Supreme Court, it may not be pushed through.
That's the problem with us right now. We've got another piece, another ideological piece. We're not going to put through a Supreme Court nominee, Mr. President, because we don't think that you should be allowed to do that during an election year. This is just my little thing. And then President Obama said, okay, who do you suggest that I nominate then? And Mitch McConnell, the head of the Republicans, could not answer him.
Well, didn't he eventually say it didn't matter who you choose, we won't confirm them?
No. He said that. He said that ahead of time. And he said, if no matter who you are going to put forward to us, we're not going to go ahead and do anything about it. And he's like, okay, fine. I won't nominate somebody. Who do you want on the court then? Mm. And couldn't come up with a damn thing. Because ideology. Because ideology. So, back it up just a second again. The way that things have gone, Bridget, I end up hearing a lot of times nothing will be done about taking up a legal case against whatever until there has been harm done. Uh-huh. This has got to be a big, 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 huge pain in the ass because if somebody isn't hurt yet, well, you can't go ahead and challenge the law because, well, until the law has actually been used against somebody,
there's nothing wrong with it. You have to have standing. If you don't have standing, you cannot sue. And that's just all there is to it.
Which means you have to wait for somebody to go ahead and say, oh, you can't do this because this law is in effect. And then you can go ahead and say, the law's wrong. And who knows how long that's going to take.
Deepak Chopra?
Oh, if only.
So we have to wait. So in other words, mm-hmm. we have to wait until, you know, somebody's life is already ruined by this.
Or in the case of those abortion laws, dies.
I was going to say, or until they whip up such a frenzy over the trans bathroom bills that some poor woman ends up getting killed or something.
You see, well, ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. this prime example. If somebody says there ought to be a law, there really oughtn't.
No. Well, there was a story. I didn't watch it, but I saw the headline on a Young Turks video of a lesbian woman. So she was biologically female who the police forcibly removed from a bathroom because they decided she was probably a man.
Now, important word there. Probably.
Yeah.
They had nothing factual to go on other than
exactly.
maybe, we think, perhaps.
Yeah, but look at how much shit the police forces all across the U.S. get away with every time they have probable cause.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, and let me put my bias out there, my dad was a beat cop for 33 years. My next younger brother is still a police officer. I have had numerous paramilitary in my family. So I will say right up front, I do have a bias on this. That being said, there are times when a probable cause is reasonable to act on. Now here's the piece. In the public's safety.
Yeah.
You see somebody run into a house with a gun that is where you've just heard a gunshot go off, and a guy runs into their house closing the door and you see a glint of something in their hand. It's a good enough reason at that point, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know about the actual law, to go and investigate that. That would make sense.
And the key word there, too, is investigate.
Yes.
They didn't even say, hey, like, I can't remember what state it was now, whether it's one that actually has a law yet or not. But let's say it was a state where you have to use what your birth certificate says. They didn't even ask for her birth certificate. They just went, oh, you look like a man, out.
Yeah. So let's go with that a second. What are you going to do? You're gonna carry your birth certificate with you everywhere and prove that you've got your traveling papers to go into a bathroom? Yeah.
No, just drop the trowel. Flash the suckers. See how many times that has to happen before the law gets changed.
Well, but then they just arrest you for indecent exposure.
And then they put you on a sex registry for the rest of your life.
I think they actually want
people to do that.
Yeah, I've seen this video, and there were and so the officers there were completely unreasonable. They ejected this poor girl like very forcibly from a line outside a bathroom. There were despite the fact that you know that there were a number of others there in the line. Confirming that this was a female on there, and this wasn't like this was a young person, maybe a bit androgynous looking, but it wasn't like it was like the 50-year-old guy with a big Santa beard or anything on there, and so the reasonable course of their action there would be to give the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, because if you don't...
And just say, we've got no reason to doubt this, and it looks like it's a simple misunderstanding.
Yeah, if you've got nothing positive to go on, you've got nothing legally to go on, at least here in the U.S. Now, that can shift, of course, depending as to what standard you're going to go by.
It's because also just a matter of not acting like a complete arsehole.
True.
On there, whatever your legal standing is, I can see no reason for their actions, and it looks like a complaint had been made possibly in mistake, or possibly maliciously. Don't know. But in that kind of situation, I'd say there seems to be no reason for sort of manhandling a citizen like that.
So the standard that we're working off of at this point is kind of what we were starting off with right off the bat. Us versus them. Little pockets versus other pockets. Sometimes big pockets versus little pockets. The only equalizing piece at this point is the legality. And this is now where we're running into a problem. Because we're running into the problem of who's going to redefine the legal standard versus how are they going to redefine the legal standard. And putting the religion as the measuring stick, as the yardstick to figure out what's supposed to be and what isn't, is now dangerous beyond measure. Because it doesn't matter which of the holy books, let me word it this way. If at least one of them says, you must be put to death for this, that's now a very suspect item. And if memory serves, it is much larger than just one holy book says, you must be put to death for this, especially for something that has nothing to do with, death to start off with. All right, death penalty for a death is probably not such a good idea. We're not going to debate that one now. But killing kids for being disruptive and just being kids, that's a very suspect item for me.
Well, you know, you're setting an example so that the other kids will get in line.
Joey, would that have worked for you?
Oh, look, little Joey. There's little Todd. He mouthed off to his parents. We're going to hang him today.
No, stone him. Stone him.
Oh, remember, we're going to hit him with bricks until he dies.
Yeah, Joey, would that have been a good deterrent for you to shut your mouth up?
I think we just made Joey cry.
No one is to throw any more stones until I blow this whistle. I want to be absolutely clear. Even if they do say Jehovah.
Jehovah. What are you going to do? Kill me again?
Are there any women out here?
No.
See, this is what I love about this crew. What levity needs to have happened, we have it.
You know, I was arguing with my Christian buddy the other day about transgendered women in the ladies' room. If I'm saying it properly, I mean men that have sexually identified as women who, you know, the ones who want to end up going through the surgery, all that, the whole nine yards. Okay. That's a transgendered woman. Did I say it right?
Yeah, a transgender woman, yes, is okay. A biologically male who wishes to become female.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had the term right, because I'm trying not to offend on that one. So his rebuke to the whole concept was putting our wives and our sisters and our mothers and our daughters into harm's way. And I thought to myself, wait. If that's the case, why do they keep going to church?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, there's a lot more pederasts going after little boys in the church than girls. But yeah. Still, the message in the Bible degrades women, assaults them at an emotional and a psychological level. Over and over and over and over and over. Oh, wait, because it's doing it in the name of religion. That's why it's allowed.
Whenever I've been debating this in groups, my rebuttal is always, you know, number one, there's no credible proof that any trans person has, you know, done anything untowards merely for being trans. And two, there is mountains upon mountains of evidence that there is a lot of clergy that like messing with little kids. Therefore, ban clergy from public washrooms.
And lawmakers. Let's not forget lawmakers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Politicians. I start with the clergy and go from there.
Yeah. And one of the things that he said was, well, what's to prevent a perverted man from dressing up as a woman and walking into the bathroom saying, you know, that he's a woman and then sexually assaulting everybody? And I said, well, you know, it's like, let's say we had Christian-only bathrooms to protect the men and women from the non-religious, you know, and I, you know, somebody, you know, some perverted non-Christian could walk up and just say, oh, I am a Christian, and go in and still do horrible, horrible things. Laws aren't going to prevent criminals from doing bad things. Okay.
Or what's to prevent a pervert from dressing up like a plumber or a janitor
just walking the fuck into a space, yeah. And then...
Yeah. I mean, if there was
deception to gain access, then... You know, even if a predator really wanted to get into that bathroom under deception, it would be a lot easier just to be like, oh, I'm a plumber and the toilet's clogged, excuse me, and then, you know, rape some woman. Like, it's far easier to do that than try and pass yourself off as a trans woman. Come on.
About 20, 25 years ago, I read an article. Now, I don't know if that's how old the article was, but that's when I read the article. It was about 20 years ago. And it was about a man who had climbed into a chemical toilet.
Yes, that happens.
In a woman's chemical, an isolated off to section where chemical toilets were kept for women, so that he could watch women go to the bathroom. Now, tell me just rationally think about this one for a moment. Here's a person willing to climb into chemicals that are designed to
dissolve things.
Dissolve, yeah. Feces and urea. And really nasty things, fumes, all that, literally could die from just to watch women go to the bathroom. Do you think a law is going to stop that person?
No. And let's go ahead and be completely honest about this one. Who is going to be much more put out? The people who go into the bathroom, close the stall, and do their business, or the person that's going to come in there and peek under the stall and go, oh, hi, just wanted to check and see. Do you have your papers with you? Just wanted to check. Can I take a look inside your pants? Thanks.
There's a meme going around of, it's like you're the point of view of you sitting on the toilet, and there's somebody crawling under the stall looking up at you, and it's like, oh, hi, I'm just here to check your genitals so that I don't have to be uncomfortable.
You know, exactly. I do want to say, though, I am slightly offended a little bit that nobody is making the argument of, you know, what's to prevent women from dressing up like men and going into the bathrooms and taking pictures of men's genitals?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, why isn't that being brought up? If you're going to bring up the other one, how about bringing up both? Come on.
Or the other side of that is if you're like, oh, these people want to get with the gender that they are attracted to molest them, well, then you gay people, hello. You know, like, you can't...
Don't tell anybody.
It makes no sense. I think you're missing something with that case. So women don't need to go to that kind of lengths. All they've got to do is create an account on OkCupid and just check their inbox 5 minutes later.
or and they have all the,
yeah, they have all the pics they want.
Yeah, but it might be they're interested in a specific dick pic, you know.
Or they might be looking for underage ones.
Yeah.
Yep. You really want a dick pic on Facebook, people? Let me know. I'll be more than happy. There's a picture of
Richard Nixon on there.
Well, no, actually, I was going to say that there's a
Trump
90-year-old Dick Van Dyke picture I can send over to you. Actually, classy.
Nice.
Dom, by the way, Dom, who's finally able to like see us and hear us. Finally, your internet sucks, dude. Rogers sucks. Dom has gone ahead and chopped it. No. It's true.
I'm Rogers. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's Cambridge. That's what it is.
Okay. So Dom had chimed in over in the Q&A and said, quote, I've shared a public bathroom with my female teacher at a drag show because they covered the gender signs with, quote, public bathroom. Now, all in caps, surprise, no one got raped.
Yep.
You know, see, here's the thing about something like that. When something like that is set up, whether it's public restroom or family restroom, things like that, that isn't currently the norm. So people tend to go, oh, look. And they tend to pay a little bit more attention. They tend to be a little bit more courteous. Granted, there's plenty of assholes out there that are still going to be assholes. But the majority of the general public does not constantly try to be an asshole like some of those people. So they see something that's out of the norm, they, not always, but tend to notice, tend to be a little bit more, oh, okay, you know, I'll be a little bit more courteous, something like that. You know, and that's been my experience anyway.
Now, I needed to just drop a little bit of levity, by the way. Dom's piece over here, I'm surprised no one got raped. I don't know if you're proud about that or not. It sounds like you could be lamenting the fact. I'm not quite sure. I just wanted to throw that past you because context matters, people. Remember that. Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I've mentioned this on the show before, and it's just been covered. There are inclusive facilities, although they may not be the norm. And I've been to numbers of different venues where they have them. And it's never any problem. On there, and I say I don't see why it should be. And so this is the only thing I can see out of this is generating panic. An attempt to generate panic, which is going to involve people getting seriously hurt. On there, and there is no reason for it.
I'm with you.
What context? People getting seriously hurt.
I mean, basically by trying to create a panic over imaginary sexual predators in bathrooms or whatever else is there, is that unfortunately... some people are going to take this to heart, and it's going to end up with people getting hurt, whether or not they're it's trans people, whether it's people with a certain appearance. It's just driving this paranoia.
You could actually apply that to everything, because that's what happens when you get into a kind of pattern matching mentality. I mean, you know, if anything doesn't accord to their If it doesn't match up with the dictate, if the program was something, if it doesn't match, it's just the emotional reaction is just reject.
Yeah, no, but this is one where they're trying to push some very intense emotional buttons deliberately and create a scare.
And I'm saying that's all they do for, like, everything.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but in this case where they're going, pushing the angle of sexual predators and protecting children, these are more intense emotional triggers, and is likely to just end up with people getting hurt. Creating even more of a climate of fear and stupidity.
And in the irrational mind or the non-critical thinker, when something doesn't match up with the pattern, all that's left is emotion, and that leads directly to violence.
Mm.
In all cases.
Yeah, something else that Dom had put, and forgive me for grabbing it really quickly, I've been looking through a couple of different things. I've been trying to find a specific protest sign that somebody had, and so I didn't see that one. But Domin also put, and something I was thinking about, quote, so then why don't we remove gender from the equation from all bathrooms?
I agree 100%.
I agree.
You want the simple answer to that question?
I've never seen another penis in a male bathroom. I'm sorry.
The simple answer to that question is illusion. The illusion of safety and security that we generate in our country. The illusion of safety and security of our own homes. We put locks on the doors. You know, we buy alarm systems. If somebody wants to come into our house and kill us, short of us armoring our house and making a whole reactionary system that automatically locks down the house like Fort Knox.
And remove all the windows.
A determined person is going to get in and kill you. That is the reality of it. The illusion of cars and driving on the roads, of how safe they are. I'm sorry, but you get hit by a Mack truck going 65 miles an hour, T-boned. You know, yeah, you might live, but probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what I was going to mention about before was something that I had remembered about. I did not watch the show at the time. Ally McBeal.
Hmm. Yeah.
The sitcom,
never watched it.
Yep. The sitcom back in the 90s, Ally McBeal, they were in a lawyer. They were in a law firm. They had a genderless bathroom. It was just stalls all the way, both sides, and nobody cared. It was just the way that it was. Full walls all the way up and down.
The few snippets that I saw, I didn't remember several times where both gender would be in there having discussions in the bathroom, and I think they used that scene quite a lot for various discussions.
It was almost like a water cooler.
It was the water cooler was the bathroom because everybody went in there.
That kind of design with where everything is stalls can work on there. One thing is from an engineering point of view, particularly if you've got areas with a high throughput, high footfall, a lot of people using it. Particularly, say, for male bathrooms, they'll use urinals or troughs or whatever, and that's possibly not a feature that you'd want in a genderless sort of bathroom.
Why not just have one big stall with, like, about 5 urinals in it?
I mean, there are ways of doing the design, but in terms of sort of space and throughput, as an engineering possibility, that is one advantage.
I couldn't figure out why you need urinals in a public washroom when I don't know of. I mean, I'm sure there's the odd guy out there, but guys don't have urinals in their own washrooms.
Oh yeah, Oh, wait, you mean at home?
Yeah, at home. Like, okay. Where you go 90% of the time in your own home,
Heretic One, I were to submit a design for my own custom house built to my personal predilections and desires and tastes, trust me, there would be a urinal in my bathroom. The thing is that most home designs, it's cheaper to just put a toilet because it is, in general, unisex. Because
of space. Right. It's unisex, and it's also space restrictions. But from the prospect of saving water.
Yeah, which is a whole other thing. Now, that is kind of taking us away from the second.
But no, that was basically an answer to Dom's question that there's various engineering problems as on top of the social ones. But in principle, I don't disagree.
Yeah,
I think we just need the hole in the floor that other countries do, so that we can not need something like the squatty potty.
Yeah, if folks want to find out a little bit more about that one, Japan would be a perfect opportunity to check that out. I was a little surprised at that, but at the same time, it's terribly efficient, but they're also the same country that brought us the electronic toilet seats, which I will tell you, I really, really, really would love to have had, but way too much money. We'll talk about
that. You could also search for the unicorn poop commercial and how it changed somebody's life on YouTube.
Kids, don't do that. Don't do that at all. It really, if you're expecting to like go and get ice cream when the ice cream top comes around this summer,
sherbet.
Or
sorbet. Yes, don't. There you go.
You're not helping at all.
Freshly squeezed from a unicorn sphincter.
Tom Carville is just rolling over in his grave right now. So there could be an argument made for keeping it all separate because of water conservation. Now, I'm playing devil's advocate for a second. There could be an argument made for that. But unfortunately,
of the whole concept of making an argument for that is we've got become much better at water conservation of our urinals, and it takes less water to flush the urinal to get the little bit of urea down the drain than it does to flush a toilet. If you're looking at the most eco-friendly urinals and toilets and compare the two on the market right now, the most eco-friendly urinal still uses less water than the most eco-friendly toilet.
I mean, if you're going down that way, though, you can use dry systems and
things. Right, right. The best thing you can do is go outside and plant an oak in front of your house and go, men only.
Yeah, that's not gonna be a good
unless
thing.
A woman can get her leg up high. I mean, if she can get the leg up in the air, it'll
not happen. But what I was actually saying is that there could be an argument made for keeping the separation.
Mm.
Now, that being the case, would something like that fall under legal problems versus? You know what? I don't know how to word this one. If somebody knows where I was trying to go onto this one, because I'm not quite sure how to even word this one.
Do you mean like in terms of building codes and regulations for facilities and stuff like that?
Public accommodation and such, yes.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are.
Okay.
On that, you'd need someone who's a specialist in that area.
Okay, yeah, that being the case, all right, the piece I was just trying to go with, shelve it, forget about it for right now. I told you, it's one of those nights where some pieces are going to work, some are not. We've got the bathroom bill is just the most visible piece of what Dallin had called the dandelion effect. It's just one more piece where it's being shoved down the throats of everybody because they can. And
what is called the dandelion effect?
All right, the way that Dallin had described it is, a dandelion has roots that go way down into the ground.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the flowers can come up several different times, several different places. And you need to get each of those heads, because they're just going to bloom new roots later if you don't get them all, and then get the root. You need to excise the root.
Okay.
And that's where this problem just falls into place with. What is the motivation? And I know I'm starting to sound like I should be talking about an actor's training class, but that's really what it comes down to.
So what's my motivation here?
I think that's paybacks for marriage equality. That's what I think.
I agree too. And not necessarily just payback, but it's okay, well, we can't get the quote degenerates that way, so now we're gonna go and get whatever, you know, we can get the
trying get one the thing after another. Now.
Yeah, what it is I think is all the Abrahamic religions have big problems with women and with anything vaginas. To do with sex. Anything to do with sex that is not done according to their list of rules.
And how dare a woman get a penis?
So basically they've had all these rules around divorce, abortion, marriage equality. Now they're targeting transsexuals. Basically, as they get knocked down in one area, they're just looking for another target. Yeah. And they're looking for a new victim, and they're trying to pick the softest target or the minorities, but it is always in common that it's a problem in some way related to gender, sexuality, or women on there that they pick on.
There was a story going around my newsfeed just the other day. It was some idiot preacher who was saying that the female orgasm was of the devil, and there was no reason why a woman should ever need to have an orgasm.
Oh, the old devil's doorbell bullshit.
Yeah.
Like we've heard that before. Yeah.
Yep.
Actually, hold on a second there. Bridget.
Yes.
The late 19th century where the... where they were marketing vibrators in order to cure hysteria.
Yeah.
Hysteria, yep. I remember that too.
And it was medically, it was part of the medical board, and they approved the whole damn thing too. They put it into the books and everything, yep. Didn't they?
Yeah. They were also approving, like, clitorectomies. At the same time, which probably wouldn't have helped the vibrators function.
No, but you could go to the doctor with, quote, hysteria and get treated with a vibrator, which meant he was going to get you off.
Maybe they should bring back that diagnosis, except make it for men. That way they can go to the doctor, get off, and get a little bit more relaxed before they go start making laws again.
They have that. It's called the Bunny Ranch.
You know, that's it. They need to legalize prostitution and just, you know, get laid, and then they'll all be more relaxed. I mean, look at the Bible, for crying out loud, right? The Old Testament is filled with fire and brimstone and all sorts of shit, and then you get towards the New Testament, and there's a lot more love, peace, and harmony. There's still plenty of other shit, but, you know, he had a son. See, that was the difference between the two. He got laid.
Yep.
Sadly. I mean, this thing about, you know... female orgasms opening a portal to hell. I mean, there is one point on that. It's going to make it much harder to fake it.
Yeah.
This is true,
because it's like, don't see Satan yet. You're faking.
Yeah, no demons pouring out of there.
You know, here's the thing. There is a...
That big.
Wow. There is a Muslim doctor or scientist or whatever the hell he is who said that he saw cancer caused by looking at pictures. I'm thinking to myself, well, what happens if the cancer ends up looking like Muhammad?
Yeah. Well, it was an imam, and he said that he had seen cancer caused by internet memes.
Of course he did. By the way, really quickly, before we get everybody kind of wrapping their pieces here, Katie, hi, thank you. Katie had also gone ahead and put in here, and this was an item I did not know about, so I can't check the veracity on this one, but I'm willing to, for the moment, believe this one. She wrote, quote, Ireland banned tampons at one point because women could get pleasure from them. Thank you, Catholic Church.
I think that was a long time ago.
Yes, I was going to say, if that's the case, I think it's that the tampon companies became a victim of their own marketing because, you know, all that, like, skydiving and whitewater rafting shit and stuff that they're always portraying. It looks great.
Horseback riding and bicycles, don't forget.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not helping me at all. You're not helping me at all. Especially if we were talking about seeing the devil and having sex and now horses. Really, we don't need to be doing this whole damn thing. You're not helping me at all.
I mean, not even a lot of men do that. Damn it, I want a period.
No, you don't.
Joseph, if you go ahead and have a horse ride you, you might end up having one. Just a thought. You're welcome.
Apparently, the Catholic Church was once asked about the Roman Catholic Church was once asked about its position on tampons, and its official statement was, the Roman Catholic Church says it has no official position on tampons.
You know,
nevertheless, some priests have spoken out against the product, associating it with birth control and sexual activities. Okay, so the church never took a stance on it, but some of the priests did. So there's where we go. Tampax faced objections from priests in the U.S., when introduced back in 1936.
They do have to be introduced.
Mm.
But that's, just obey your local handler. But I just wanted to say, you know, one thing we've been talking about, you know, every dictate in the Bible is just to ensure the survival of the religion itself. That is, and Shujin was talking about goals, talking about motivation earlier, and that I think more people should be looking at that. That's a damn good point. You know, that's the entire motive of every rule in that book. It's a survival of the religion itself. So having as many babies as possible in a world that's overpopulated and, you know, condemning homosexuals and all that because, homosexuals don't have babies. It's all about that.
Hey, Christians, the Bible proves that atheism is true because if it wasn't true, you would need to convince everybody to believe.
That's...
Think about it. If there's no God to propagate the religion, once everybody who remembers it dies out, there won't be any more of that religion ever again.
Mm-hmm.
See? So with a God that existed, the God could just appear before more non-believers and turn them into believers. But if atheism is right, that there is no gods, then by the religion propagating itself is the only way to keep itself alive.
And considering that tomorrow is Sunday for a lot of Italians, today. I think a lot of us are going to become converts to Pastafarianism because, well, it's Sunday.
Pasta.
Yeah. Meatballs. Oh, little meatballs.
Oh, well, I got to move my friend in a couple hours.
I got my little colander right here.
You put it on your head?
I don't think
so. Well, no, it's
I can put it on my head.
It's the neck-wearing variety.
There you go. Okay, so we gotta see about wrapping up over here really quickly. And by the way, only because it's there in the Q&A, Pro Beast Pro, I do see you over there, has asked, can I join?
Don't feed the trolls.
Yeah. If you want to join the Pastafarianism, yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah.
You can even be ordained.
Could be. But I wanted to go ahead.
I do recommend the Church of Bacon, though.
Can't say I blame you.
Or Church of the Latter Day Dude.
The Dude of Lapse Memory.
Don't forget the Lapse Memory is still there. But as far as to can you join? No. And the simple reason is because we don't know you at all in any way, shape, or form. Your profile has very little of information that'll help us try to figure out if we should have you on. And I'm not feeding the troll. I wanted to simply put it out there as somebody that wants to just arbitrarily say, can I be on your show? We're not a call-in show. We're not just going to have somebody on kind of show. So if you'd like to make a petition to be on sometime, send us a message one way or another, and we'll take a look over what it is that you'd like to talk about, and we'll see about having you on sometime. But otherwise, for the time being, no. But thank you for asking. Don't go
I would like to get a phone call. That'd be cool.
You get out every once in a while. It'd be nice. I mean, you meet a nice girl, guy. I don't know. So long as it's not a sheep, I don't care what you get phone calls.
Cat, okay.
Sure. Fine. So, wrapping. We got to wrap. So let's go. I don't. You know what? This is one of those times I don't want to lead you guys on this one as far as to how you want to close out. Because we've run a lot of different gambits, and we've kind of strayed off from the original. But again, it's one of those things where which was that so many of these laws that are being generated are just reactionary, and the motivation is, well, basically legal shit. Yeah. Yes, I said it. Whatever, I don't care. But I don't know that I want to guide anybody on their closing this time, because there's a lot of areas and a lot of avenues. So I don't know. I don't even know who wants to lead off at this point. Who feels comfortable enough to lead yet?
Who's Pongo?
Pongo, we
know Pongo.
Oh, that's right, Pongo. I was half asleep at the time. I'm sorry.
Well, you are on the show. That's only to be expected at this point.
Yes.
You're welcome. Where else is he?
The sleeping atheist.
You know, before you go ahead and pass out, then Tech, go ahead and how rare would you like to close? I have no idea.
Well, I how rare would I like it? Well, if it's bacon, I prefer mine medium.
Good choice.
I'll close with a large prayer. Our bacon, which art thou, been cured, sizzled by the flame, thy pig undone, thy slice be done in pan, as it is in broiler, give us this day our daily pork. Forgive us for not embracing your brine, as we forgive those who curse carbonara, and lead us lead to turkey bacon, and maybe some veggie too, for thine is the crispy, the crunch, and the grease, forever and ever, praise bacon.
That's awful.
I know. Veggie bacon? Come on.
Ew. Veggies.
Ew. Wrong. You got to get that waste, that whey protein to make that thing even work.
That's what you get for writing poetry with your mouth full.
Oh, I didn't write it. It wasn't me.
No, he just stole it, because that's some of the best ways.
Well, I mean, it's on the Church of Bacon's website, like the Bacon Blessing. Our help is in the flame of the lard, who has made all foods extra tasty. The lard be with you and with thy grease. Let us pray. Bless the lard. This bacon which we have cooked.
I have a Pastafarian prayer that I actually have up in my kitchen.
Really?
Yes, it says, our pasta, who art in a colander, draining be your noodles. Thy noodle come, thy sauce be yum, on top some grated Parmesan. Give us this day our garlic bread, and forgive us our indulgences as we forgive those who make reality TV. And lead us not into vegetarianism, but deliver us some pizza, for thine is the meatball, the noodle, and the sauce forever and ever, ramen.
Okay, since we're doing that, I'll close with, oh, pointy birds, oh, pointy, pointy, anoint my head, anointy, nointy.
You know what? I have no idea. Joey, if nothing else, your video is just too precious not to use right now. What would you like to use?
He's just going to look at us disapprovingly.
Yeah, that was
from just like, Mark. What the hell is wrong with you people? He doesn't even have to say it. He's just got the look, you know? It's like, what's wrong with you?
He's like, do I even know these people?
I can't hear a blessed word you're saying.
Yeah, if you're talking, we're not hearing.
See, that's the thing. He's not actually talking. He's just mouthing it out loud, making us think that he's talking, that there's a computer problem, just to aggravate the inner tech.
All right, let's see what happens now. Try it again, Joe. Nothing.
Nope.
You need to learn sign language.
Well, just for out of solidarity.
Yeah, there we go.
Out of solidarity, I'll pretend to be frozen.
Yes. No.
Out of solidarity, sorry. I'll pretend to be horny.
Just okay. Go to sleep.
All right, Joe's gonna rejoin us in just a couple of seconds. Bridget, I'll give you your opportunity to. I don't even know with all the shit, especially considering where you know you get to play with.
Well, I only have two things that I can contribute. Is the place where I work now? We have genderless bathrooms. Yay.
Yay!
Yay!
How
and
about now?
Yay! And we can hear you. And Governor Fallon, I'm watching you. Don't do it.
That's a good piece right there, Joey. Go ahead, man. Now that we got you,
probably wouldn't have happened if I didn't have to yell to try to drown out text so I could get a word in edgewise.
No, it there was no audio coming through at all. Don't worry. But go ahead.
I see how it is. I can't remember exactly who put it this way, but as I said earlier, if someone says there ought to be a law, there really oughtn't to be one. And remember that when you say there ought to be a law, remember that it will be enforced by men with guns who may interpret that law much differently than you.
Yeah, I had to have a hard time peeing at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you need reference, let's see, there's
while you're looking that up, by the way, just to listen out over there. Joseph. Okay. Peeing? I don't think that I would have very much of a problem peeing if somebody was pointing a gun at me. That's just me. Just a thought. Keep that. Yeah, Joey, what did you get?
Well, I was going to say, if you need references to what I am speaking of, let's see. There is 1917 until, 1989? And there's also 1933 through 1945, if you need reference.
Could you be a little bit more specific?
Because I didn't know you were that old.
See, now I'm trying to figure out what it is that you're making specific reference to.
Communism.
Oh.
Where's that?
Okay. So, you do realize that this is like a whole bunch of dead air trying to figure out how.
I'm not one to give away to just I give clues. I don't give away the answer. Give away the answer, they won't learn anything.
What's the time?
Give the answer away.
Give us the relation.
The relation is when you say there ought to be a law, that law will be enforced by individuals with guns who may not interpret the law the same way you do.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. The lights are on now?
We got it.
But you see, if they're good Christians and the right type, it won't matter.
I'm sorry. We're going to stop
laws
you right there. Because
are consensus. They're not dictate. They shouldn't be dictate.
You tell that to a person who arrived at the position without using logic. Go ahead.
Yeah, so actually, as a matter of fact, I'm going to end up using that as a jumping point. You don't even realize it. Chris, where would you like to close?
As people have been doing prayers, then I thought I'd follow on. So apologies if I get the pronunciation slightly off to anyone, but here goes. So it's Nima Levi Morf Surivayo to Noish Tupamet on Titan Sudil Sus Tashega Sabsert Sayef Vigrath Uza Sessaset Rusu Vigrath Derp Iliad Ruyed Sithsu Vig Niva Nisuza Zedni Nub Itli Eithmuk Modnigik Eighth main, if ib, duula, neva, ne track you, riffaf rua.
Oh, it's Klingon, no?
No, well, as everyone else was doing the Lord's Prayer, I thought I would as well.
I didn't do the Lord's Prayer, I did the big prayer.
He sounded like the little guy in Twin Peaks in the that's talk backwards.
Yep, that's
Uske,
it.
Uske Italy.
Lord's Prayer backwards.
That's yeah, because he sounded exactly like the guy in Twin Peaks.
Okay. Well, Heretic Woman, what do you want to do?
Well, I did the Pastafarian prayer already, so
yeah, no, good point.
Pretty good there, I think. And like I said, I think I could make a much better case to ban clergy and politicians from bathrooms because we know that they mess around with people they shouldn't be messing around with.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth? And yeah, Joseph, I was going to double check. Was there anything else that you had? Because I wasn't
Thunder
sure.
Muffin.
One more thing. It's a plug, shout out, but to, you know, the latest episode of The Thinking Atheist, to plug somebody else's show, that was one of the most inspiring listens I had in a long time. What was the name of the episode? The Mind Virus, it's called. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly how we should be looking at religion. And I'll give you a link to the episode if you want to put it in the show notes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've said it before. I've got no problem with us name dropping or linking off to other people's stuff because, I mean, that's the whole reason we've got as many people as what we do, so that mm-hmm. there are as many people that can explain how do I see it, and what might you be missing, and what can you teach me. That's the whole point of it all. All right,
yeah,
so
it's called Religion, the Mind Virus.
Okay, and that one just came out recently, I'm assuming, then, yeah?
It's the latest one.
Okay, so we'll see about adding that into the show notes so that can be linked for everybody. I'm going to close this up with what's probably going to be a little bit of an unexpected position, and I'm going to be of the position of, it's possible to have a religion and have it work well with law. There is a way of making that happen. Here's how. I'm going to read you specific tenets, and don't anybody lead the bit, but if you know where I'm going on this one, just go ahead and nod. One should strive to act with compassion and empathy towards all creatures in accordance with reason. The struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions. One's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone. The freedoms of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend. To willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego your own. Beliefs should conform to our best scientific understanding of the world. We should take care never to distort scientific fact to fit our beliefs. People are fallible. If we make a mistake, we should do our best to rectify it and resolve any harm that may have been caused. And finally, every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail upon the written or spoken word. I'm fairly certain that everybody on this panel has recognized exactly what I'm reading from. These are the seven tenets of the Satanic Temple. We were fortunate enough some months back to speak with somebody from the Satanic Temple. And how wonderful was it to have somebody say, yeah, these are part of our core beliefs. We believe that people should basically be good. And I'm hugely paraphrasing, but you know what? I challenge you. Any of you of the big three, go find that level of morality as your tenet, as your guiding principle. Because I got news for you. We already pit these seven tenets against the big ten for Christianity. And guess what? Sometimes less is more. And with any luck, sometime in the future, we will have less of more. As always, everyone, thank you very much for spending your night with us. And we hope that you've enjoyed all of our perspective and have found something worthwhile in all of what we've had to say. A question has been put over there. Will there be an after show? I didn't ask the rest of the panel, so we'll find out in a couple of moments. You guys can go ahead and say what you think of it all. As always, Joseph, thank you very much for your morning. And would you be willing to stick around for a bit?
Sure.
All right. At this point, do you have anything for yourself to be plugging? I don't think so, but I figured I'd double check.
No, but just thank you, sir, for a great show.
Chris, again, as always, thank you. Good morning. And anything for you to be plugged at this point?
No, nothing for me to plug at the moment. So, good night and hail Satan.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to stick around for a bit as well?
Yeah, can do.
All right. Unrenowned Tech, thank you very much for your waking time. Appreciate it. And, of course, did you want to stick around a bit?
I've got a friend I'm helping move, so I'm going to need to sleep.
Completely understandable. All right, man. Thank you. Joey, thank you, of course, for your time, and you might as well just go ahead and plug something, sort of.
With a bullet?
No.
That's the opposite.
I thought you were kind of hinting at something like nefarious, but I guess not.
Not exactly nefarious. Joey has been a little bit busy this week.
Right hand or left?
I'm confused.
Corner.
You were doing something that you refused to accept compensation for.
Oh, well, yeah, I made a new logo and business cards for the group, so.
Oh, thank you.
Rock on, dude.
It's still kind of preliminary thing.
Rectangular?
I'm going to get feedback on everybody from everybody about them, just not tonight, because bleh.
You're done.
Well, Joseph, if they're rectangular, I think you're off to a great start.
stale. Fortunately.
Because I can't draw... No, seriously. I cannot draw a stick figure to save my life. So you're already loops and bounds beyond anything. That's the end of my input. Done.
I want my business card in paisley.
Of course you would.
Right, for his They're ass, we'll get a can of paint and just go...
They're not personalized, no.
No, they're not.
Okay. But.
But sometime in the near future, I'm very much looking forward to congratulating you big on that. No, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. Not yet.
Oh, well.
We'll have a reveal later when we've got a good... Don't worry. Okay. At least we want to do it with Dallin here because...
Well, he's seen him. I mean, he's got him.
Yeah, oh. No.
We'll show you guys off the air in a couple moments. Bridget, thank you very much for your time at this point. Have a good, and what shall we plug for you?
My blog. BridgetFitch2112.wordpress.com.
Heretic Woman, of course, good morning. Try good to stay warm over there.
Yes, I'm
the
good.
Cold wind has been blowing through again. Go ahead and plug all the things.
Well, of course, there is Beyond the Trailer Park, which is every Monday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. This week, I think I mentioned it last week, but we are talking about evolutionary sexuality with Rachel Nannen Brown tomorrow night. So that's going to be fun and exciting on Monday. This afternoon I will be recording with Left of the Valley, which is a radio show / podcast out of BC. So I'll be hanging with those guys this afternoon. So that's going to be fun. And I'm not sure exactly, I think they put it up on Blog Talk Radio after it airs, but it's actually on live radio, so I've never actually done that before, so that'll be kind of fun. And I think that is it for this week.
But evolutionary sexuality, is that something like getting better at it?
No, it's talking about why, he knows, but it's talking about why we do what we do, why are we attracted to things we're attracted to, why do we approach sex and sexuality the way that we do, and that sort of stuff.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, you should, well, it's going to be like 2 a.m. for you, but.
This episode brought to you by Pornhub.
Yeah.
X-Hamster, who went ahead and said...
Not available in Utah.
Yep.
Yeah, X-Hamster. Yeah, by the entire state of Utah.
And North Carolina, which, by the way, normally we wouldn't go ahead and say that civil disobedience is a good or bad thing. We don't normally say congratulations on those kinds of protests, but X-Hamster... All you guys over at X-Hamster, because we know that you're watching, on behalf of all of us tonight, golf clap from all of us. Well done. And well
it's not
played.
What it sounded like.
Yeah, I know, but that's kind of the thing. You're welcome. Anyway, so on behalf of Dallin, of course, thank you guys. You can check out Dallin's blog over at robotechtiger.tumblr.com. And if you go looking, you may still find pictures of him. He is over at the Shift to Reason convention right now, this particular weekend. You may find pictures of him. That's shifttoreason.com. And, of course, he's having a great time. You can find him over on Facebook as well under Dallin. Actually, I forgot what last name he's using.
Cool House.
Which I forget how to spell. But you know what? Look from under
Dallin. K-O-O-L-H-A-U-S.
A-U-S. And of course, as always, Matt, thank you very much for your stuff. If you'd like to chime in on the show, of course, send us messages. You can find all the links that you need over at holycrapthevlogcast.com. And if you would like to send us a voicemail message, you can send us over at 859-HCTV-554. You get phone number 859 402-888-554. It's been a pleasure. As always, I'm looking forward to talking with you guys again next week. My apologies for being not quite with it this week. I've got some stuff, real life, that's not being real nice for me, but
you are fine. Through it.
I try. Meantime, as always, we see you, of course, soon. I wish you all the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. And, of course, my wife, nearing on to 11 years later, I am still in love. Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. Those of you looking to get in for it after show, just hang out. I will send messages your way. But, of course, as always, until the next time we get together, everyone.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.